The Summer Olympic Games officially get underway in London tomorrow, and for the next 2 weeks, much of the world will be riveted. So whether it's basketball or kayaks, judo or soccer, give us a reason to follow your favorite event or an especially compelling athlete. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman joins us from London, where he's covering the games. Hey, Tom.
Neil, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. So tomorrow's the big day, the grand opening ceremony. Isn't it curious? The games got underway yesterday.
It is a bit curious. Yeah, the preliminary sports events, they happened in Wales and in Scotland, but not near London. And that was by design because they want to save the big bang for when things open up at the opening ceremony tomorrow night.
There was indeed the first gaffe as well. The North Korean soccer team was among those featured in one of those preliminaries yesterday, and sadly, they put up the flag of South Korea.
Neil, what would an Olympics be without gaffes, you know, and without politics? And so, yeah, that was a little bit embarrassing. And the IOC, as it often does, kind of deflected criticism and said, "Now this is the fault of the London organizers." So the London organizers apologized for putting the North Korean flag or the South Korean flag next to the pictures of the North Korean players, but they were a bit peeved. They walked off the pitch and delayed the start of the game against Colombia for more than an hour. But then they put these big North Korean flags on the jumbo screens to kind of entice them back out. And they came out and they played soccer.
And indeed carried the day against Colombia 2-0.
Yep.
Let's see if we get some callers in on this conversation. We want to hear from those of you who are looking forward to particular events or to particular athletes. Give us a call and tell us why the rest of us should care. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Peter's on the line. Peter calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, hi, Neil.
Hi, go ahead, please.
I'll be watching archery and table tennis, and particular some young, strong athletes. Brady Ellison is the number one ranked male archer in the world. He's an American, been training at our U.S. training facility for the last 4 years. And Ariel Singh, a young woman from California, will be leading the U.S. table tennis team.
And you will be watching on your computer on NBC, what?
I'll be watching in London. I'm there. I'm headed there now.
Oh, good. Tom, what weather can he expect?
Oh, man. Pack some shorts, okay? Before I came, I was packing, and I said, right before I zipped my suitcase closet, I better put a pair of shorts in there just in case, because they've just had record torrential rain, even for Great Britain, and haven't taken the shorts off for an entire week. It's been hot and almost muggy at times, and but I'm hearing that that may be changing as we approach the opening ceremony.
So, Peter, do you have tickets to some of the archery and table tennis events?
I do. I'm actually involved with one of the national governing bodies, and so I'll be hoping to visit a number of the events.
All right. Well, have a great time.
Thank you.
All right.
And you know, Neil, I should say that that archery is may get a little more publicity than it usually does because Team GB, as they call it, Great Britain, has both strong teams in both men's and women's archery, and they'll be in action this coming weekend, the first weekend of the games. And as always is the case, when the home team does well, that really gets people excited and generates a lot more interest.
If one were interested in something like archery or table tennis, well, not so very long ago, you could go a long time watching coverage on an American television network before you saw a story or coverage of archery or table tennis. This time, everything's going to be available. If you're interested, you can see it.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know how many channels they've got, but yeah, whatever you want to see is out there, and it won't take, you know, kind of that soft focus, weepy story on the archer that will force them to cover it. It'll be actual sports, which is pretty cool.
It doesn't have to be an Estonian orphan anyway, I get your point. Here's an email we have from Chris in the Dalles in Oregon. As a fourth generation Oregonian, Oregonian. I'm proud of the large contingent of outstanding athletes from or linked to our small state. I'm especially looking forward to watching track and field hopefuls Ashton Eaton and Galen Rupp, both born and raised here in Oregon. And, Tom, I we're expecting lengthy features on Oregonians, no?
Quack, quack. That's right. The sound of the Oregon Duck.
It is.
And the athletes that Chris points out, Ashton Eaton, who set a world record in the decathlon at the Olympic trials last month, was just fantastic. And he's definitely, he's got to be a gold medal contender right there. Galen Rupp, I believe his distances are both 5 and 10,000. Tremendous distance runner in the great tradition of Oregon distance runners.
You mentioned the decathlete. Here's an email from Carol. Please mention Trey Hardy. He's the son of a friend of mine. She's from Birmingham, Alabama. And let's see if we can go next to Vince. If we can get Vince on the line. Let's see if we can try. Here's Chris. We'll get back to you, Vince. Chris is on the line from Buffalo, New York.
Hi there.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, well, I'll mention another Oregonian, even though I'm not from there. It's my friend Mariel Zagunis. I used to be on the U.S. national team back in the day, and she's a fencer. She's going to be the flag bearer. She's going for her third gold medal, and it was only 15 years ago that women weren't even allowed to fence our weapon, saber, in the Olympics. I was on the first world team in 99, and now she's not only leading the way for saber, she's leading the way for fencing, and she's leading all of the athletes into the stadium.
So she'll be carrying the American flag tomorrow night?
Yes, she will.
And I just have to ask, is that a long career for a fencer?
Well, no, not particularly. I mean, like some of the, where it's been bigger in Europe for a really long time, people will fence well into their 30s and do, medal in the Olympics. So she was 19 when she won her first gold, and she's going to be 27 at this Olympics, so she's probably got a few more in there.
Well, we wish her the best of luck. Thanks very much for the phone call.
Excellent.
Tom, what
event? And Neil, if I can, I can just jump in here. I actually did a story on Marielle, and it's very exciting, the news. And she was speaking today in London about her excitement because she just learned this within the last 24 hours about being named the flag bearer. And it is great that a fencer, relatively obscure sport, is going to be in the limelight. She lives in the Portland area, and one of my favorite stories, I went to interview her, and she showed me this enormous trophy case because she's been winning medals and trophies forever. And I said, can I see the gold medals? And it was actually at her mom's house. And she said, Mom, where are my gold medals? I just love that.
I should mention, Tom, that if you go to NPR's Olympic blog, The Torch, you can see a piece by Tom Goldman about the event that he's participating in, and that is Mall Escape.
I made it out. Yeah. It's this enormous mall that opened last September. I think 1.9 million square feet. And it sits on the edge of the Olympic Park. And it's estimated that 70 to 75% of the people who are going to be going into the park to see the main events of the Olympics, track and field, swimming, basketball, bunches of others, are going to pass through there. And so a great time to dust off your credit card and just find thousands and thousands of things there. We found everything. My colleague Howard Burka said he found some amazing locks there, bagels and locks. And,
I thought he was talking about the combination locks, but yeah.
No. The important locks, the kind that go on a bagel.
The tradition has become to design museums now, so you have to exit through the gift shop. This is entering through a rather elaborate gift shop. But remember your way in, so as Tom's experience will tell you, you can remember your way out. Let's see if we can try Vince again. Yes, Vince, success. You're on the line from Columbus.
Hi, Neil. Wonderful show. Enjoy it every day if I can.
Thank you.
As an American, I'm very interested, and I applaud the efforts of all of our teams and individuals, and I like the stories of community involvement. But the last number of Olympics, I've become fascinated with the teams that I call the giant killers, Oh, for example, Lithuania's basketball team, a country of only 4 million people, managed to knock off Russia, and you know, it came close to knocking us off a number of years ago. I looked into their history and found out that the seed for basketball was actually planted by an American sometime in the 20s or 30s in Lithuania, and it's indeed become the national sport, and few people, far fewer people, are interested in soccer. So that I'll be looking for the giant killers, as well as rooting for and applauding all our American participants.
And Tom Goldman, I gather Arvydas Sabonis is no longer playing for the first time, it seems, in about a century.
That's right. And, you know, yeah, he's right. Vince is right. Giant killers are great fun. It's going to take a lot, though, specifically in those sports of basketball, both men's and women's. The U.S. is dominant, particularly the women's. I mean, the men get all the attention with LeBron and Kobe and Kevin Durant. But the women have won the last four gold medals. They've won 33 straight Olympic Games. And they really are the true dream team, if you want to coin that phrase. 20-year anniversary this year of the men's dream team in Barcelona. But they're the ones, and it's just going to be really tough for anyone to knock them off. I would say in the men's, Spain, Argentina may have a crack at the U.S., but also unlikely that the U.S. would go through that without winning the gold.
Vince, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Neil.
We're talking with NPR's Tom Goldman, who's with us from London, about the Olympic Games, which officially get underway tomorrow, unofficially got underway yesterday. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And speaking of giants, Jessica emails us from Portland. I'm excited to see the Brazilian men's soccer team, especially Neymar, the 20-year-old wunderkind, who will be a household name in any house that cares about soccer. He has the most amazing ball-handling skills, said to be possibly the best ever, and is able to nimbly make his way around any opponent like no other. At only 20, he's still developing his talent. This Brazilian team should not be missed, not only for Neymar, but for the whole crop of amazing talent. And Tom, it's a soccer tournament as well, dear to the hearts of Britons, and is Brazil favored?
In the men's competition, I would think so. I think it's great that Jessica mentioned this because not many Americans will be as interested in the men's tournament because the U.S. didn't qualify. They'll be more interested in the women's competition. But yeah, Brazil should do well.
Let's go next to. Let's go, Mark. Mark is with us from Birmingham.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And, of course, Birmingham and not Birmingham. They're very different places. Go ahead.
That's true. That's true. I have been an Olympic fan for forever, for a long time. But this is the first time I've got a personal connection to any of the sports. So that makes, you know, this Olympics particularly interesting. So I'll be watching the men's and women's, but particularly the men's 10-meter air rifle competition.
And why the air rifle competition? What got you interested in that?
Well, my son is actually a junior shooter, and he was pretty good. His team won a couple of national championships and stuff when he was 15, 16, and that sort of thing. And so he got to travel to the Olympic Training Center and shoot there about four different times. He met our Olympic athletes. And both of the men that you have two men on each sport. So both of the men in the 10-meter we know personally. And so that'll be kind of an interesting thing.
All right. Well, we wish them the best of luck. And thanks very much for the phone call.
One interesting thing about one of the shooters, Jonathan Hall, that you might want to watch.
Sure.
While every other shooter there is probably wearing thousands of dollars worth of gear made by high-tech companies from around the world, Jonathan Hall, his mother makes his shooting clothes.
That's nice. Thanks very much for that, Vin. Mark.
Thank you.
I just wanted to read some emails here. This from Anne. I love all the rowers, and I'd love to hear about David Banks. He's one of the few African-American Olympic rowers. I met him a year back, and he's an inspiration to me and this transformational sport. This is from Daniel in Lakewood. I'm looking forward to seeing Anne Romney's dressage horse, Rafalka, in action. Craig from Oregon writes about Usain Bolt because he's the defending Olympic 100 and 200 meter champion and stands a great chance of successfully defending his titles in both those events. Go Bolt and the rest of the Jamaican Olympic squad. Annie from Sitka, Alaska. Nelson Debell, a kid who went from being a thug on the streets to an Olympic champion in the 1992 Barcelona Games, has my vote. When he pulled ahead in the last 10 seconds of his 100 meter breaststroke and won that race, his reaction of screaming and hooting and hollering afterwards was one of my favorite Olympic victories, following that with his crying on the podium while trying to sing along to the national anthem, topped it all off. And this is from Sharon in Rochester, New York. I find tennis fascinating. It requires both physical and mental stamina, unbelievable resilience. An entire match can turn on a single ace or a double fault. There's no one body type that guarantees success. While some players employ sheer power to overcome their opponents, others rely on agility or unpredictability to outwit. Generally considered an individual sport, Olympic tennis allows the best players in the world to strut their stuff alongside their native sons and daughters. And Tom, briefly, we just had Wimbledon, and guess what? They're going to be playing at Wimbledon.
They sure are, without one of the biggest stars in the game. In the men's draw, Rafael Nadal will not be playing. So Roger Federer will, though, as will the kind of native son from Scotland, he's Great Britain's own, Andy Murray. And so maybe he can get a little revenge on Federer, where they met recently in the Wimbledon final.
You can find more from NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman and the rest of the NPR team on the brand new NPR Olympics blog, The Torch, at npr.org. Tom Goldman, as always, thanks very much.
You bet.
Tomorrow it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here with a look at why science is a non-issue in the upcoming election. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.